As a chef, what I realized today is when I do restaurants abroad, I just need to say Indian food. And people accept me for who I am. The presentation of Indian food is generosity. You can sit both legs on the chair. You don't need cutlery. This is how we eat in India. Use your hands. And the world is ready for it.
We don't have any more this colonial
hangover
where you have to eat in a certain manner. Food is going like this.
And we stand on top of the pyramid in terms of being a culture that's mindful. Mm. We should chart out budgets which very clearly support only child nourishment.
So do you think Indian cuisine and culture are part of Bharat's soft power now?
Oh, absolutely.
Hello and welcome. My name is Anupam Kher. Welcome to my show where for the next half an hour, we will be talking all things India, Bharat with a very special guest. He's a renowned Indian chef, television personality, author and now a fellow actor. Welcome, Ranveer Brar.
Born and raised in Lucknow, Ranveer Brar is a celebrated chef and television personality known for championing regional Indian cuisine and reviving forgotten recipes. At just 25, he became one of India's youngest executive chefs at a five-star hotel and has since curated menus for restaurants across India and abroad. He's judged and hosted acclaimed food shows and made his acting debut in 2023.
Welcome to the show. Let's talk Bharat. Actor. That's a good thing. I'm very proud. I think anybody who joins acting. My first question is very naturally, which is coming to me, is that for chef, did you do any training?
I actually learned on the streets of Lucknow first.
Okay.
And then went on to do with a little bit of confidence after working in the streets of Lucknow, when I was able to instill the confidence in my parents. Hmm. That he can sort of, he's taking it seriously. That's when I did formal education. So I studied for a hotel school in Lucknow for 3 years and then passed out in 97. Mm. That's when I started cooking professionally.
After passing out from drama school in 1979, my first job of a teacher, I was 23 years old, was in Lucknow. And I was there for 1.5 years. I have never eaten till now something as amazing as in Lucknow, on variety of it.
Even now, the funny thing is I'm not interested in the technical part of food. Mm. I think over 30 plus years that I've been cooking now, I've realized that, you know, you just need to master the basics and forget them, right? Like any other form of expression. Mm. But I was drawn towards the storytelling that Lucknow has of food.
Yes.
You know, this very interesting relationship or equation that Lucknow has, where you say you get a plate full of food and, you know, a big handi or a big
degchi
full of stories. Mm. That's what really drew me towards it. You know, it wasn't the technique; it was just stories. It was just the unending conversations around food. My family has been doing it for so many generations. My grandfather made something out of nothing. You know how it goes. So the storytelling and the romance around food for me was a driver that got me into the business.
So how did your family react when you decided to become a chef?
It wasn't. I mean, early 90s, when I said 94 is when I wanted to join college. 93 when I told them, it wasn't the first choice. It actually wasn't even the third, fourth, fifth, sixth choice of profession. You know, India at that time was... you become a doctor, engineer, or wait it out for 3 years.
It's been like that forever.
Yeah, try it for civil services, otherwise bank PO. Mm. You know how it is. You broke the mold way earlier, so you would know. And that's what it was. So obviously it was not a conventional choice. Mm. And it took a little bit of convincing.
But who means you needed to convince your father or your mother?
Father. More.
Father. My dad what did he want you to be?
Yeah, he engineer, you know. Uh-huh. My dad is an IIT Kanpur gold medalist.
Wow.
So he was instrumental in indigenous ejection seats and landing gear, his times for the MiGs. So for him, for
I don't
him.
Blame him for getting so. My God, oh my God, that's cool. And your mother, you obviously all mothers are great chefs and great cooks.
Okay, for me, it was.
No, my, generally, I'm just saying that.
Generally. Yeah, generally, because for me, it wasn't my mother. Oh. For me, it was my grandmother in this case. Hmm. But I think, and all of us sort of understand that in the Indian context, intent. Is just so important.
I always feel that.
When it comes to cooking. You know, like you say, you learn the technique and then everybody learns the technique. Even if you're making a cup of tea for yourself, right? Everybody who's sitting here, you give them the same ingredients, the same gas, the same time, in the same room. You will not have two teas that taste the same.
Absolutely.
It is your headspace and your intent, right? At that point in time, how you compose yourself.
Francis Ford Coppola said the same thing about Godfather. He said you give the same actors to everybody. You give the same shot division. You give the same cameraman. You give the same mixer. It will still not be the same Godfather that I have made.
Absolutely.
And now let me talk to you about the acting part of it. When did you acted in...
Let me complete that. I mean, for example, if you were you did Saransh when you were 28, right? Mm. Saransh at 30 would have been different, at 32 would have been different.
Yes.
I think it is just never the same river, never the same you, you know.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, that's right. But, when I see Saransh today, at that time, at 28, my concept of an old man of 65-year-old was what we finally got to see. I am 70 now, and I'm still don't think the old man should have looked like that. But then that's how life looks at you. So I was telling you about, you told me about that Buckingham murders. How did that happen?
So I've been doing a lot of work in front of the camera, right? And I've been extremely fond of cinema, but never ever trained to act. But I'm a big fan of Majid Majidi films, Children of Heaven. I've watched it at least 200 times.
Beautiful,
you know.
Film.
Short breakdown and everything else. Godfather, I've watched the whole series at least 50 times.
Yeah.
Right? So I've just been, I've always loved the medium. Never thought I'd act. But, and as you grow, I'm almost 50. So as you grow.
You don't look 50, I don't look 70.
Well, yeah. Thanks for the compliment.
Yeah.
And the backhanded one as well.
That I gave it to myself.
Yeah, but I think, so I just felt that when the opportunity was offered, I just felt, first thing I said no. And then when I did it and I saw myself, the first thing I did was Model of Mumbai, which was I was very hesitant in doing it because, you already have something that's going on well and you never wanted to act. So, but then I felt I had an opportunity to, not be me, to explore an emotional plane, to explore a space which wasn't, which I would not normally be exploring. And that sort of what eventually triggered this love for, it's nice, it gives me, so for example, in Buckingham Murders, what really worked for me was it was not a positive role. It was an extremely chauvinistic murderer. And for me to be able to get into that headspace, navigate that gray, these are not things that you can do in normal life. And then, because you've seen the camera so much, I just felt I could just let myself loose and let it show. That's all. It's just, I enjoy.
Do you feel nervous when you are acting?
No.
And when you are cooking?
I think when you are setting up for it, even for acting or for cooking, when you're setting up for it, you are nervous because there's always this what if that pops in. But I think when you start cooking is presence, right? It's just awareness. And over the years, you train yourself to sort of, the moment you wear the chef coat, the moment gas goes on, something happens and you automatically land in the present. And that is the only formula that I take towards acting as well. You know, saying the moment somebody says action, for me, it's the gas turning on. Saying nothing else matters now, it is the present. And that for me has worked. I think just being in the moment then there's nothing else that.
Have you ever been criticized for your cooking?
A lot of times, a lot of times. I think my first stint in the US was a lot of learning for me, you know, because one, the world wasn't ready for Indian food as it is today. Two, at 27, 28, I did not know how to create a conversation around food and also slightly alter food to be able to make it understandable. So I think that the ability the inability to bridge that disconnect between my food and the audience that was consuming it, that took me 6 months to sort of come to par with. It's not what you know that matters, it's what they want that matters. So I think that bit was in the US was a big learning experience.
This question always comes in my mind. There are two aspects of food in today's time. Presentation has become a very, very important factor. Presenting the food. Not necessarily every food that is presented can be tasty. How do you decide at the end of it, the running of a restaurant or a eating place is food or the presentation or 50-50 or what?
So I think in today's world, people see through you and they see through your intent. So you can't really just act and or just be pretentious and get away with it. If the intent has to come through. For me, for example, if you see my restaurants, there is no delicate 7-story presentation of food. I believe that every presentation has character. The presentation of Indian food is generosity. That's our
generosity. Yeah. Yes, I totally.
That's
agree
our character. So this is the presentation. This is how we present our food, right? And I stick to that. And for me, if I'm not generous in what I'm offering, if you can't sit, if you can't say, hey, I don't need the crockery, I don't need the cutlery, I'm going to eat with my hands, then that purpose is being defeated. So I think for me. And the good thing is, I mean, considering where we are sitting also, the world is ready for that India.
India, yes.
You know, the world is ready for that India where we say, this is our presentation, we're generous. You can, you know, you can sit both legs on the chair. You don't need cutlery. This is how we eat in India. Use your hands. And the world is ready for it, right? For the longest, there was this pretense or prefix that was added to Indian food, which was modern Indian, inspired Indian, a progressive Indian, right? And then there was a hyphen in between. We don't need that hyphen anymore. You know, as a chef, what I realize today is when I do restaurants abroad, I just need to say Indian food. And people accept me for who I am. I know it sounds funny. It seems like I haven't learned from my lessons in the US. But
that's your originality.
Yeah, but the world is changed. The world is looking towards India without any hyphens.
We don't have any more this colonial
hangover
where you have to eat in a certain manner. Of course, we, as a human being, as a person, it's always important to know manners. It's always important to use. But you can't tire me by telling me this side the small knife or this side the fork and this side.
That's not my food.
At the end of it, food is going like this.
So I did a Fortune 500 dinner in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Okay.
And I had 100 CEOs and MDs of these top companies.
So do you think Indian cuisine and culture are part of Bharat's soft power now?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and you know, we work a lot with policymakers, and I think we just need to define that soft power more. The Honorable Prime Minister has used the word soft power, and we just keep reusing it. I think we need to be able to further chisel out what that soft power means. But I completely agree. I think at a time, and especially post-COVID, when the world has realized there are limitations to the Western medicine, Western way of thinking, and also realize the importance of what you consume mindfully.
Yes.
mindful cultures and civilizations in general have gained a lot of respect, and we stand on top of the pyramid in terms of being a culture that's mindful.
That's so well said.
Right? Yeah. Or attracting cultures that are mindful. It's not just that we are mindful. We've attracted Dalai Lama. We also attract mindful cultures. And I think at that space, in that broad space of mindfulness, that's where yoga comes in, that's where food comes in. And I think just the fact that we can show the world a little bit of mindfulness in itself, that is the true soft power.
Do you get upset about when Bangladeshi restaurant, I'm not saying there's a word for that, but they are passed off as chefs, are passed off as Indian restaurants, so many places, especially in smaller cities. Does it bother you?
No, outside of India, if I go and I see, I think what happens is the fact that all of them have to write Indian restaurant outside the restaurant is a testament to my cuisine. One is, you know, the fact that to run their business, they have to latch on to Indian food. That makes, that sort of ratifies the beauty of our cuisine. Right. And two, in fact, a little bit of work on this was done by me, where we discovered that this whole idea of these Bangladeshis cooking in Indian restaurants stems from a fact of pre-partition migration from undivided India, when a lot of these people from Chittagong, Dhaka, they migrated from then India to the UK. And then started doing some restaurant work, and the partition happened later. And then they started being called Bangladeshis, but in their head they were still Indians.
That's right.
Because they left at a time when it is still India. So I think that this is, again, the beauty of food. But for me, the bigger part is that whatever said and done, the fact that they are calling it Indian food is because they know this is what the world wants. This is what the world sells. Our food is 6,000 years old. It's 6,000 years of recorded history, right? Yeah. So for two or three restaurants to tarnish that history, 20, 30 restaurants to tarnish that history, I don't think that's possible. I think these make Indian food conversations bigger. I see it like that. They're helping make our conversation bigger. And our food is bigger than all of us put together. So it'll survive these small bumps.
So apart from this Indian food, and we are lucky to have such variety of food from north to south, east to west, unbelievable amount, kind of food. Which are your other cuisines that you like?
So Italian food for me does it. I trained in Italian cuisine under Antonio Carluccio, who was the godfather of Italian cuisine, as they call him. I lived in Italy for 6 months. I've opened a few Italian restaurants. Our restaurants, there is an Italian version of our restaurants in Boston called the Da Vinci. So Italian cuisine does it for me. I think it's also very a la mamma, just like your mom's cook, quite similar to our concept. Very ingredient first, not very finishing, delicate, but just flavor forward food. So there is this common connect between them and us. And I think probably that's why, and there's this meditativeness about Italian food. Risotto, you know, the way you stir it and you go round and round. The comfort that a khichdi gives you, and a risotto sort of tries to encapsulate that. I know you're getting hungry.
I wish this show was about science or about anything else, because this is for me to eat something, and you're talking about risotto and khichdi. And literally, this is unbelievable. This is really... And what about this concept of now... and I'm asking this not with any interpretation, of 16-course meal.
If done well, tasting menus or degustations, they can be quite an opera. They can be quite... and I have been parts of tasting menus where the chef has taken me on a journey. It is like Luciano Pavarotti, right? Where a chef has actually made me gasp and sigh and, you know... Food can do that to you, and sometimes you need an hour and a half to do that. So, but those are times that you build for. You know, that's something that you do twice a year, where you say, I want to go to the opera. And I want to hear Luciano Pavarotti sing and I want to cry. And I want to hear 500 people gasp together. You know, and there are very few chefs in the world who are able to do that. A lot of us are still trying. And I would strongly suggest next time you travel to Melbourne, there's a restaurant called Attica, a chef called Ben Shuri. He does a 12-course tasting, the best that I've had the other side of the equator.
Attica. Okay.
And yeah, he made me cry on the 7th course. Everybody cries. It is which course you cry on.
Wow.
It hits you somewhere.
I am all set. Which is your favorite fast food?
For me, I think there's something magical about pav bhaji.
Pav bhaji.
Yeah, I'm a thoroughbred Punjabi. Bred in Lucknow, you know. So for me to like something as quick as a pav bhaji seems very unlikely. But there is something beautiful about it. There's something beautiful about just putting everything together and then magically creating. Well, whatever vegetable you have, you just put it on top, put some spices, and then it is literally magical.
How successful are the government's food security schemes?
Well, I think that is one relationship to food that we have now started focusing on, hunger, right? I think from the last 10 years or so, I see policies which are focused on, at one end, speaking about food as a soft power, and at the other end, understanding the most basic function of food as nourishment. A lot of, I think, the Bill Gates Foundation, I work closely with them, and a lot of research shows that a lot of these malnourishment-caused diseases or malnourishment-caused problems stay lifelong if you don't give the child nourishment at the right time. We've understood this. I think we're moving in the right direction. We are endorsing grains that are environmentally friendly. Shri Ann, you know, Prime Minister calling out the millets. Us celebrating what we get in our country for nourishment first, us celebrating nutrition, nourishment, and our indigenous produce is a good first step, and the policy today is supporting it.
And how do you think the food industry can contribute to addressing the issue of hunger and malnutrition in Bharat?
I honestly think it is between MOFPI, the Ministry of Food Processing Industries, between the various industry bodies that work together. Like we have, you know, we very clearly have budgets between different MNCs for social welfare. We should chart out budgets which very clearly out of that support only child nourishment, right? Again, whether it is in schools or it is at home, the good thing is one good meal a day can create so much change for an entire life of a kid, right? And I think that's, for me, between all the marketing, budgeting, and everything else that is done, just ensuring that, you know, between the MOFPI and the industries, there is a certain budget that only goes for child nourishment as a welfare activity will go a long way, and just one meal.
And what's your advice for young chefs who want to challenge culinary norms without losing respect for the tradition?
I think it's not our food is not dependent on us, right, to be respected. As chefs, our food is bigger than all of us put together, and it is a subject that nobody can really master or conquer. But as chefs, it's very important to challenge everything, and I'm confident that wherever you challenge our food, our culture, and its traditions, they will hold true. They have held true yesterday, they will hold true today, and for chefs of tomorrow. I want them to challenge it, because then they will really understand the beauty of our cuisine that is perennially beautiful.
You know, usually, almost at the end of the show, I say, I could have carried on and on, but I want to end this show fast so that I can eat something. When do I see you as an actor again?
I don't know, sir. I honestly don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it myself.
I'm looking forward to be acting with you.
That's very, it'll be an extreme honor. I grew up, for me, I still remember when you go into the minister's office and...
In Saransh. Yeah.
And then when he says, sit down, you haven't recognized him. Mm. That 2.5 seconds of you figuring out the chair and the geography and really understanding what has happened, just those 3 seconds for me, I could watch that 500 times. That's how much I've sort of grown up seeing you. So,
thank you. Thank you, Ranveer Brar, and thank you for watching. Join me again next week as we uncover new layers to the great nation of India and Let's Talk Bharat. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You should have gotten me something.